Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One. This week at AdamCarolla.com, Take a Knee with Adam Carolla and Jesse Tevelo.
I really believe that you have to create value. You have to start there. And if you can do that, then everything else opens up. The relationships, being able to have opportunities like this where you can go and talk to awesome people, like that comes from you actually hitting the pavement, right? Working hard, doing something that people care about. And then and only then should you talk about stuff and have a podcast or have a book and reach out to people, because otherwise no one's going to care.
Subscribe to Take a Knee with Adam Carolla for a weekly dose of inspiration and motivation. And get unlimited access to Adam Carolla's archives. Sign up for Podcast One Premium. Use the Podcast One app or click the link at AdamCarolla.com. From Carolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, from No Safe Spaces, Dennis Prager, and from Crashing on HBO, Pete Holmes. With Gina Grad on news and Bald Brian on sound effects. And now, nominated for Best Sound Design, Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get it on, Mandy. Get it on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for sharing. Here we are right on the cusp of our ninth year. We're coming right up to our ninth year of doing a podcast. And it's all because you guys share this show. And when I go do the shows, I see the fathers and the sons and the couples and everyone else who the other one turned the other one on to the podcast. And we appreciate it. We also appreciate Tommy John. Go to TommyJohn.com/Adam. Get 20% off your first order. Good day, Gina Grad.
Good day to you.
And Bald Brian.
Plow a stranger.
Dennis Prager in studio. Pete Holmes coming up. Two of my favorite gentle giants in the studio today. Good to see you, Dennis.
I last saw you exactly a week ago in Atlanta.
That's right. We had a marvelous time.
By the way, you look very similar.
Thank you.
Yeah. People may wonder, do you look different on the two coasts? And you don't.
I have not varied.
Yeah.
But we will stop somewhere in Indiana and see how I work in the middle of the country.
That's a very good point.
The Dennis and I do live shows. We have one coming up in Phoenix at the Grand Canyon University Arena. That's Tuesday, February 27th. You can get tickets at adamcarolla.com. You know, I will pay you a good compliment, Dennis. I had to do Atlanta with you. I got to do Atlanta with you. And then I was going off to the Kennedy Center with just me. And they're both 90-minute shows. The one I wasn't thinking about or dreading or fretting about was you.
Oh, that
the one
a big
where
compliment.
I was doing it alone, that felt like work. That felt like a little more pressure, a little more whatever. The do the show with Dennis felt very, very easy.
That's playtime.
Playtime.
No, that's a wonderful compliment. I, on the other hand,
all dreading all the time.
I just thought I would add that in.
Dennis,
a completely gratuitous insult.
Dennis does his syndicated radio show Monday through Friday, AM 870, The Answer, out here. And then you can just go to check out DennisPrager.com. And you can check out Prager U, too, with lots of good videos. So a couple things.
We have a good chemistry. And you have analyzed our synergy very, very well. The secret weapon to the way we both think, you have isolated. And it will sound simplistic, but it's not. It's simple, but not simplistic. Common sense. It is astonishing. People say I'm conservative. I never in my life thought I was conservative. I don't have any problem.
I have
no problem with being called it. It's fine. But I know that what directs me is common sense.
Right. And I've always said, when anyone ever interviewed me, that's what we have in common. People
right.
say he's Jewish, he's religious, he speaks five languages, he travels the world, he comes from Brooklyn. Wait, Brooklyn?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
And you go, you have nothing, right. nothing in common. I go, right. but we have the number one thing
yes.
in common,
yes.
common sense, and that just bridges every divide
everything.
With us.
Now,
because I know how you're going to answer every question because
right.
there is a common sense answer.
That's,
you hear it
right.
less and less now, but there's just a, there is a straightforward answer to every problem if you're just using common sense
right.
and not other
that's
things.
Why I don't I this will be interesting because it's a good test on whether if you disagree with me then I'll wonder maybe I'm not thinking clearly. That's how much I respect
right and one of our big common sense things that we've talked about before is Dennis is deeply religious and I'm an atheist and he said, do you hope there's a God? And I said, of course.
That's right.
That's a
and
common
that
sense
issue.
Answer.
That ended the issue.
Right.
Exactly. So here's one. So I think, I just think common sense suggests, talking about the horrors of Florida yesterday, common sense suggests that if more teachers are trained and armed, there will be fewer people dying in schools. Am I right? Is that just a simple common sense proposition?
Yes.
But
I feel that way.
Is that a Band-Aid to the situation? Like,
yes, it's a Band-Aid, but a Band-Aid's help.
Right, well, there you go.
Yeah, no, it is. There is no perfect solution.
It's
it doesn't
like, it's
exist.
It's like, the food stamps for, the fatherless families that are having trouble getting by. Yes, it can help, and yes, they need them, but is that not a Band-Aid to the ultimate problem,
right.
which is making the dad stay home, or at least stay in the picture?
Oh, yeah, no. I mean, the ultimate
is the
answer
is
that we raise every American to believe that murder is wrong. I mean, I have to say, that's my answer. But since I live on Earth and know that won't work in every instance, in the meantime, the LA Times editorial today, which got me yelling, which is very rare for me, but I was so angry at the idiocy of it. They said, so we'll hear the bleatings. That's the word they use. BLEATING. Bleatings of those who say, oh, well, an armed chemistry teacher, well, they'll reduce the murders, to even one or two. And I was thinking, well, yeah, that's right.
That's an improvement.
That's a very big deal. Two beats 17.
But wasn't there an armed guard on the campus?
Who apparently had no contact with
one
the shooter.
One armed guard on campus is essentially useless. I'm
yes.
sorry?
You're talking about teachers
yes,
versus
yes,
one
yes, and
armed
principals
guard.
And teachers and assistants, all the adults that you can, you train in weaponry. And let me ask everybody, again, I'm only saying this, Adam, because you and I believe common sense can get you very far.
Well, I'll chime in and say this. Guns have a lot of energy around them, and anything that has a lot of energy, common sense takes a back seat oftentimes when discussed in the media. So when you talk about recycling, there's not that much energy around recycling. Either recycle, it's a good thing, it's a bad thing, it works, it doesn't work, we save aluminum or we don't. But then when you start talking about the border, or you start talking about abortion, or you start talking about guns, now there's energy. And whenever there's energy, common sense goes away, just like when adrenaline causes you to do the wrong thing, when you're driving a race car and the car starts to slide and get loose at 150 miles an hour, novices will get an adrenaline surge and yank the wheel.
Try and correct it.
And go into the wall.
Yeah.
The people that don't have any adrenaline surge will let the car slide and simply quietly correct it with the throttle or whatever it is. So guns have a lot of energy.
Yeah.
And we have a lot of energy and there's
especially in the wake of a tragedy.
Yeah, there's a horrible tragedy. Then everyone will take to the news the next day and start shouting out things that don't make sense, right and left, because there's energy to it. And where there's energy, there's no common sense.
Using common sense, the most common sense application is there was someone on campus who was trained, whose sole responsibility was to patrol with a firearm, trained and prevent this kind of thing. So this is the experiment being put into action, and he was impotent. He had no
you're
effect
missing
on,
Dennis said teachers,
but is that numbers
you
the
can't
answer.
Have one guy
one
with 3,000 people at the other end
right.
of the corridor.
The
like he didn't
guy,
hear it
if the one guy
whatever.
Had a grenade and a bazooka, it wouldn't have mattered. You need multiple people able to shoot the guy in any given room. And I don't understand. Again, I don't understand the argument against it. For whatever your position
on guns. Well, because there's an energy against
guns. Right, you're
guns.
Right. No, the meaning passion. Passion has overruled sense.
Well, there's two things. There's a bunch of things. We're funny because we do things like out here. We have barbed wire around the freeway signs because we have a problem with people graffitiing the freeway signs. I hate that we live in a society where we need to put razor wire around the freeway signs. But after a number of years and millions of dollars, somebody just went, screw it, get out the barbed wire. We don't like to admit that this is where we're living. Who wants to admit that they live in a society where teachers are packing? These are one of the many things we don't want to admit. And then we go, well, but in the Netherlands, they don't have to. And it's like, we're not them. We have to admit we're not them. Or we have to admit this is where we're at now, which I don't think anyone wants to admit. We hate the sound. Yeah. Everyone hates the sound of a teacher carrying a gun. Yeah. I think, you know, so my feeling is a sort of threefold. I believe, so there's a couple things. I always say, like, we are now training kids that if some gunman does walk into your classroom, instead of getting in the fetal position under the desk and wait to be executed, throw your cell phone and shoes at the person's head and see if we can disarm them. This is kind of an extension of that.
Yeah,
if
taking it to the logical extreme.
If you think about, we now tell kids, no, don't sit there. You'll get executed. You must fight back. Well, if you're going to fight back, maybe a teacher with a gun rather than a student with a shoe is a more sensible way or a higher percentage way to get back. Now, I know people do the whole, it's going to turn into a shooting gallery and blah, blah, blah. But
it could work as a deterrent, too.
I'd rather have a shooting gallery than a one-way shooting.
But the deterrent, the deterrent part,
you're less likely to go into school and shoot up if you know for a fact those teachers are armed.
If you're plan
exactly
is to get back at your girlfriend or something, it's a one-on-one sort of thing, then that takes place off a campus at a later date or a weekend. But if your plan is to get a body count, and you know that either at this school or at this mall or at this synagogue there are a few people wandering around who won't be labeled that have the ability to fire back at you, you would go to another synagogue, mall, or school where you didn't have to deal with that. So I agree with that. I also, I see folks on CNN, they hate guns, they hate that we're this, and they hate that it's come to this. And, you know, for me, I've never been a gun guy, never had guns, never don't come from a family that goes shooting or hunting or anything. But, you know, for me, I'd say I'm pretty moderate about it. But
shoot down your dreams.
Realistic. Yeah, my family, they'll take a pump-action shotgun to any dreams that young Adam had. But I'm for all the above. I do not believe that people need to buy big round clips over the internet or so-called assault rifles that are really just semi-automatic, whatever. Like, I have a feeling that not everyone needs everything they want all the time in the weaponry department. On the other hand, so simultaneously, I would like some common sense legislation with that kind of stuff. The other part is parenting, families, family and parenting, because everyone kind of rolls their eyes and goes, yeah, I get it. But it's like, no,
you don't get
it. I mean, dads raising kids, parents doing their job, society knowing when the kid was having mental issues and going, kind of getting out of his lane or her lane, although it's never girls. And if you really think about it, and I know people use this, and maybe they've used it more in Europe, they use it here, and I'm not doing one of these sort of NRA argument cop-out things, but everybody has a car, everybody has a driver's license, and if anyone so chooses on any given Sunday, any day of the week, anywhere in the country, you can plow through a farmer's market rack up 20 people in terms of a body count. You can get a high body count if you just get yourself an SUV and go to it. And I don't think anyone has a plan about getting rid of driver's licenses or SUVs or cars or anything. Now, having better drivers and better families is good. and putting a couple stanchions up at the end of the farmer's market that might prevent the car from blowing through, which would be sort of the armed teacher or gym coach or whatever it is. I think only gym coaches should be armed, although I'm sure they would shoot many of their own students in any given semester.
Just for not moving
I know
fast
Mr. Walters, when he was yelling at me, 10 off donkey and back to the corral, he would have fired at least one warning
into
shot. Mr. Hensley would have definitely killed Ray Oldhofer before he got out of Walter Reed. He would have put a bullet.
Many times over.
He probably would have winged him, like hit him in the shoulder or something, like message sent. But I feel like PE teachers would have shot their own.
You should send Ray on stage with Dennis sometime.
Yeah, see what happens. Well, and also,
so my three prongs. Sorry, I don't want people to have what we call assault rifles, even though they're called other things sometimes. I don't want them to have, you know, multi-round banana clips. I want parents and communities to focus on kids and mental well-being, and I want the teachers with 44s. And until we don't have these things anymore, and then the teachers can put the guns away. So it's three. I feel like I'm consistent. Yes?
No. Again, I just want to remind everybody the original point is that common sense should prevail. And people with common sense can differ on what common sense leads to. But I don't, on the specific issue of teachers and other adults in a school being armed, I simply don't understand any common sense argument against it.
Well, it's
forgive me. I just want to say I'm agnostic. I don't know the issue. I mean, I know the issue, but I don't know what common sense would inevitably lead to on the semi-automatic issue. I don't know the answer. I'm because there are so many out there, and anyone who really wants it will get it, and therefore most laws against ownership end up penalizing the innocent or the people who want to just protect themselves and not hurt anyone. So I don't know. I'm agnostic on that issue. But on the issue of having people able to stop the people who are shooting, the only way to stop, I guess this is the simplest way to put it, the only way to stop a murderer is to kill him. The only way to kill him is to have a gun yourself. So if there are no guns among adults in schools, there is no way to stop murder. And that's just it. It's like two, it truly is 2 and 2 is 4. And
well, there's a pretty common, as a parent, I have twins, they're both in the 6th grade, and they're in different classes. I don't know why we decided everything was so important. Like they have to be separated.
Because they're twins.
They're going to walk in a circle and hate their mommy their entire life. Like, okay. But anyway, they're in separate classes. And if you said to me just right now, look, I'm not going to give you any details, but there's an active shooting going on the campus of the school that they attend. There, each child is in their classroom. Would you like it if their teacher had a gun and knew how to use it, or no?
Right,
the
right.
answer would be yes. So if that was right. if that was a question, it'd be definitely right. yes. Now you could say, but what about all the other days and forever when there is no shooting? Would you still like the person to have a gun?
Why not?
Well, I think the thought is that somehow the kid's going to get the gun and then he's going to go running with the gun and then the gun's going to go off. But in a world where people are trained, things are regulated, and things are kept right. in lock boxes and blah, 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 I'm an advocate of it. I'm fine right. with it. But also, I wish it wasn't, just like no, I wish sure. we didn't put barbed wire around.
I wish we didn't need armies and navies and air forces and Marine Corps.
Right.
My list of wishes is very high, and it plays very little role in my life, I must say.
Dennis, can we shift
yes,
gears
by the
to
way, just remind
note
everybody
here.
That we'll be in Phoenix on whatever, March 27th. Yeah, just
we shall be there, Grand Canyon University Arena. One of my favorite parts of your radio show is your happiness hour. Mm-hmm. It's something that was neither here nor there in my life, almost my
happiness
entire life.
In general?
Yeah.
Well, it was like you're happy or you're not happy. It's not a pursuit. I never thought of it I understood, well, you got to go to the gym and you got to eat right, you know, otherwise you're going to gain weight or whatever it is. But I never thought of happiness as anything that you really could control,
right, achieve.
Or achieve or work on or hone or anything. Right. It was just some people are happy, some people weren't, or I was happy when I got my new car, then I was sad when I crashed my new car. Like, it was that,
it's out
that
of your
kind
hands.
Of relationship with life. But Dennis talks about it a lot, and it's a really important subject that is... In a world where we talk about everything, we rarely, I've never heard a politician talk about happiness. And it is, if you could wish for one thing for your kids, it would be happiness.
Yeah.
Be a happy
person.
It's a
person. Manifestation of, you're right, of
it transcends
life.
Everything. Then it doesn't matter if they're, maybe they got a job that's only pays $32,000 a year, or they're driving a 4-cylinder car with no air conditioning. They're happy. If you're happy, you can transcend almost every facet of life.
Compare that with the rich guy or gal who's miserable. You know, so
right.
Well, ultimately, which would you rather be?
So, what rich, is the song in your happiness hour? You play the happy guitar. Is it when your people are going to know the name of your song from that happiness?
You mean the
hour?
Opening? The
yeah.
Opening? Oh, no,
Brian,
it's not a secret.
It
it's it was,
I know
believe
it's not
it or
a
believe it or not. It's actually, this will kill it for a lot of people, but maybe half of your listeners never heard of the guy, but it was actually from Lawrence Welk.
Oh,
and it's something,
that rock star.
Something and Raisins or Roses, or I don't even remember the name. It was found for me by a young man who was a way, way, way many years ago, about 20 years ago, who was the engineer of my show.
Is this it?
No.
Okay.
It's
no,
a Florence very,
a
it's a
Waltz.
Very peppy.
Yes,
it's a very peppy.
It is. It's a great
jazz
it's a,
guitar.
It's a tremendous.
And,
it's
and
a
what
great
do you
theme.
Think it might be called?
I'll get it for you. I'll look it up, and I'll you'll announce it to your.
I need
people.
It now.
I okay. Well then, you keep talking, and I'll look it up.
You keep. I'll keep talking. You look it up.
Fine.
So, the Happiness Hour, and when I hear this song, I oftentimes think, God, it'd be funny.
Are there any lyrics?
No, okay. No lyrics. That would be very funny in a like Curb Your Enthusiasm kind of like ironic way if something horrible was happening during the time this song was playing. But Dennis talks about happiness. He talks about how selfish it is to be unhappy.
Yep.
And
to inflict your bad mood on others particularly, yeah.
And nobody really thinks of it that way, but it really is a very, it's incredibly, I feel, I come from a very unhappy mom's, insanely unhappy.
Right.
And
only happy when she's unhappy.
And I've realized there are people, you don't have to eat brunch with the person to figure out whether they're happy or unhappy.
Apples and bananas.
Apples and bananas.
Yeah, I knew I'd find it.
Lawrence
Welk, apples and bananas.
So all you have to do is greet them. And there's a few people in my life where if you say, how you doing? They go, I'm still alive. I don't want to hang out with that person. And my mom, who always does famously, and you may think it's nothing, but it's her entire life. It's a calling card for who she is. When you go, how you doing, mom? She goes, I'm okay. And that's all you need to know. It's all just in that answer. When you meet Dennis Prager, he never gives a, I'm okay for now. Yeah.
And on the other side of that spectrum, you know what my dad's been saying my entire life when people say, how are you?
What?
Always great. That's his response. Always
now,
great.
This is the song, but this isn't the guitar-driven
version.
This
isn't the way we play it. Yeah, we got a much livelier tune of it. But I want to tell you how much that means to me that you said, what I read into your comments was I made you aware, and I hope millions of people, that that happiness, first of all, happiness is an achievement, not a mood. And it should be regarded as something to pursue, just as integrity and goodness and all the other virtues are. It's a virtue. It is something that we are morally... There we go.
There we go. Hold on, USA. Turn it up.
Had to dig for that one.
For those who don't know my show, it's the second hour on Friday.
Would you like to sing the song?
Well, all right, we're going to get to it. Here we go. I made up this part.
I know, professional.
It's a happy, 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 happy hour. Yes, it is. It's the happy, happy, happy. It has no lyrics. That's it. That's the extent of the lyrics. And then I go into my monologue, the happy make the world better, the unhappy make it worse. Okay. And it is absolutely correct. The happy make the world better. How many, you know, when you think of people who do, the guy who just murdered those kids, was he a happy kid? Of course not. Happy people make the world better. Happy, 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 happy. I go into mode, you know. If I'm on my deathbed, I'll probably end up singing this. But that I have tried to make people aware that happiness is an achievement and should be pursued as all the good traits are pursued. Because you will be a better human being, not just a happier, a better human being if you're happy, and you will make other people happy, and that's a moral achievement to make other people happy. The amazing thing is, you know what I love to do when I meet couples? I love to ask, so which one of you is the moody one? And they crack up because they think, how does he know one of us is moody? 90% of marriages are a moody and a non-moody. This is my theory. And 10% are a non-moody and a non-moody. There are no marriages on earth between a moody and a moody. Mm-hmm. And here's my theory. The moody are miserable, but they're not stupid. They never marry one of their own.
You know, weird. That's a sort of version of my sort of pain in the ass, which is anyone who's worked, been around long enough, but certainly worked production or something, realizes that there's always somebody who's a pain in the ass. You guys can tell easily because you'll do things like, hey,
Brian Bishop.
Yeah, you're gonna say to, you know, my assistant Matt, hey, let's switch the start time of the show on Friday from 1 till 3. All right, get the word out. And at some point he'll tell me, everyone's cool with it, but one person, and I'll yell out Brian's name. No, very Brian's memorable. A busy man. No, very Brian's memorable. Not a pain in the ass. But what I'm saying is
there will be one. It'll
be a thing where you go, we're going to Arby's for lunch. Just go get, and then he'll get back and he'll go, somebody wants to go to Paquito Ma. And you'll go, okay, it'll be that one. There'll be
Brian
that person.
Bishop.
So, if you take that person, and Brian's not that person. He's
not always.
He's discerning about when he works and about
I'm
what
a pain
he eats.
In the ass in different ways, but I'm pretty amenable to change.
You take. An easy, you take a laid back person and you can hook them up with that person, it'll be fine. And if you take two sort of cool people, that'll be fine. But if you take pain in the ass and pain in the ass, and I've seen it at work, they'll hate each other. And it's weird because they're just looking into a mirror.
Yeah.
And I don't want to bring up names, but when I was doing the man show, it'd be like, this guy can't work with this director. And that director would be like, I can't work with this guy. And I never had the heart to really go, because you're both pains in the ass.
Right.
Because
exactly.
I don't have any problem working with any of these people because I'm malleable or something. And the other easy people don't either. And it's the same with the marriage. The two pains in the ass.
They don't marry, though. That's the part of it. You and I should, maybe we'll talk about this I really think we should, actually, in Phoenix, is the, because we're both married and, you know, we've lived the married life. And it is an interesting thing. Why? Here is my, because my life is filled with the question, why? So if my theory is right that the moody and the moody never marry, and that overwhelmingly the non-moody and the moody marry, I understand why the moody marry a non-moody. Mm-hmm. As I said, they're not stupid. But why do the non-moody marry moody people? That's a fascinating question. I have a theory, but
I think that one. I mean,
no.
I'm not going to say which one of us is moody. No, you know, funny thing about
Lynette. I think that gave it away, yeah.
Lynette is not moody. Lynette can easily be swayed by whatever's going on at that moment. So
mood-wise.
Yeah. So she doesn't, like, I think of moody as I'm in a bad mood today, or I woke up in a bad mood, or I'm in a good mood for no reason. Lynette's whole thing is, if my daughter aggravates her, she'll immediately just get into a bad mood. If my daughter delights her, let's be more realistic, my son delights her, then she'll be in a good mood. So
if the daughter's a neutral the whole time, we're good.
She just sort of, it's a flag and it'll blow whatever direction that wind is blowing. And for me, I just feel like I've been around the block way too many times to get into this game where I'm going to sink down and get into it here and then rise up here. I just sort of live somewhere in the middle.
I think there is a straight answer to that, and I don't think it's a good answer. I don't think it's a functional answer, but I think a lot of non-moody people, you've been talking about achievement, consider it an achievement to get that person out of that bad mood.
I think that's 50% of the answer, which is huge. I think the other 50% is the moody hide it while dating.
Oh, also very good point.
Smart.
Yeah,
very
shrewd. It's called false advertising.
Yes,
they should be sued.
Yeah.
I'll have to look into that.
She did. Yeah.
Well, and you have a quote, Dennis, that I remember you said on the show that I love so much. And I please tell me if I'm getting it wrong, but it's something like the world doesn't care how you feel.
That's
they care
right.
how you act.
Yes. 7 billion people on Earth, not one except your shrink, cares how you feel. Everyone else only cares how you act.
Lovely. Yes, and I do believe in a world where everyone is following their heart and living their truth that it's getting more and more difficult.
That's
because
right.
this thing needs to be tamped down. People need to say, your truth and your heart and your dreams and your feelings are pain in the ass. Act differently, right. But it's
why can't someone's truth be like to be really altruistic, just like help charity and like
yes,
help the downtrodden?
It's never,
your truth is to be everything's
that.
Okay. It's funny.
Like I can always tell the biggest pain in the ass on any reality show when they do their interviews and they go, you know, a lot of people can't handle the truth, and right. I just tell the truth. It's like, no, you're a bitch.
Yeah, you're
that's
good.
Why they don't like you. It's not because you tell the truth.
I
yes,
speak
right.
my mind.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
someone
Dennis,
can't handle can't it. Very handle
Dennis
problem.
Prager tells the truth.
Yes.
He's not a pain in the ass.
Yes, right.
So, but I want to get back to something you said, which I'm trying to recall, which is people treat their mood or their happiness as if it's sort of based on what's in front of them all the time. So if you order a sandwich and the sandwich arrives, you're happy. And then when the bill arrives, you're sad because you don't have to pay for the sandwich. But you're right. saying it's more of just a general
choice.
Position, a choice.
Yes, that is what it is. And that even goes to an even larger issue. I have come to realize as I've gotten older, almost everything is a choice. And we don't think that way. For example, when I grew up, love and marriage go together like a horse and carriage was a cliche. Of course, you love somebody, you get married. But what was assumed turns out not to be correct. It's a choice. Society made a choice. If you love each other, get married. Then in the 60s, we made a different choice. There was no reason to get married. So people stopped getting married. Everything turns out to be a choice that we thought at some point wasn't, even our happiness. And this is huge, and that's the reason. You know, I started it in 1999, the Happiness Hour, and we have a recording of it. I actually have the first show. And I said, I don't know if this will work. I'll give it a try. It worked, and I haven't missed a Friday broadcasting that. So I appreciate that.
It is something that, again, I wish as a society, and I wish, again, I don't believe I've ever. All I've heard from politicians is why you shouldn't be happy. It's really how you're getting gouged, and the middle class is getting pinched, and who's got to pay for it, and you're black or you're Latina, you're LGBT or whatever it is, and how you should be outraged. No one ever talks about
right.
what you should be happy about. Just
well, you
living
know,
here.
Reagan did. Reagan actually.
Oh, that's right.
Yes.
Reagan did that.
Reagan was. Aren't we lucky to be Americans? That's why I've always answered, you know, the white privilege, which I consider to be largely nonsense. After all, if it's white privilege, why do white men commit suicide at a greater rate than any other group in America?
Can't take all the privilege.
I guess yeah. Okay, yeah, the privilege just weighs them down.
Maybe they
exactly.
drown in privilege. Maybe
they
it wasn't
drown,
a suicide.
That's right. Yes, that's right. So I say, how about American privilege? That's what I thought growing up. I have privilege just to be an American. What a lucky dude I am.
Well, if you think about it, and of course, we could never think this way, and for some reason, politicians have gotten away from this or never really visited it at all, except for the aforementioned Reagan. If everyone or many people around the world are essentially killing themselves trying to get here, where we were all born, then no matter what your gender, your skin color is, if you're born at that place, I mean, I think if you treated it sort of like a board game, and you said anyone who's born here on Park Place, there's an element of you're lucky just to be born here that
right.
should
yeah.
I think it'd be nice to think about on a biweekly basis. That's all.
If not more frequent.
But I was also listening. You got to look up Funny Valentine by Frank Sinatra.
Great song.
I was listening to an older episode of I'll tell you how I'm wired. And I had a kielbasa-related incident.
Oh.
Yeah.
So many great versions. You want to hear Sinatra?
Oh, well, hold on. Okay. Keep it ready. At the ready. I was, I decided I wanted sauerkraut and kielbasa. And so I did what any good married man would do. You find your Guatemalan nanny and you say, hey, Olga, I want sauerkraut and kielbasa. And then I proceeded to... Yeah, I miss sauerkraut. It's not. Sure. She had no idea what sauerkraut is, but I miss it. My grandfather, my Hungarian grandfather, make a lot of sauerkraut, potatoes, and kielbasa, and it was very good. And you just... Here, it's like, what do you want? Thai food? You want Mexican food? You want to get sushi? I mean, it's just never... There is no sauerkraut in my life, and I decided I wanted an infusion of sauerkraut. So I was, like, going back and forth and doing the thing. I had the thing that drives me most nuts in life with Matt the Porcelain Punisher, which is I said to my assistant, I said, Matt, where's some is there any sauerkraut in this godforsaken town? And he said, well, there's a German sausage place that's down from the kebab way that you go to. And we get sandwiches there. We get sausage sandwiches there. And I think they have sauerkraut over there.
They sure do.
And then we went online and we found a bunch of pictures. And I said, okay, they have it in a jar, but do they have it where they scoop it in like the deli and give you the container? And he said, I don't know. And then he found out they do. And then he said, I'm going to send one of the lackeys over there to get the sauerkraut. And I said, do that. And then I pause and I say what I always say because I have plenty of money, but I have no time. I said, get the jar for $4 and get them to fill the pint size, whatever. Get them both. Just get them both. And he said, okay. And then they came back with two of the deli ones. And I said, where's the jar? And he said, oh. And I said, okay. I don't know why life always seems to work that way. And I always say this. It's my money. Just spend it. I'll never take the jar and throw it on the ground and yell, God damn you. Just get the one that's in the picture. But it doesn't seem to work out. But anyway, we got the sauerkraut. Then I went on a kielbasa thing with Olga, the nanny, which is, I said to her, what are you doing for kielbasa? And she said, I'm just going to go to Gelson's or something. I was like, okay, and I started running through my head, like, man, I should go back and get some good kielbasa or something. I thought, kielbasa. Anyway, she made it last night. Everything was great. Kielbasa tasted like hot dogs. And I was at the German deli place, going my own self now, keeping it real. And standing listening to Dennis Prager's show, looking at other people buying like head cheese at 11:30 in the morning, kind of wondering where they're going in their life. And they had Hungarian kielbasa. Hungarian kielbasa was like bright red. I was yes.
Now we're talking.
So I sent a message to Olga saying, we're going at it again tonight. I'll be back with the kielbasa. But I was listening.
Hopefully Annette didn't see that text message.
We're going at it again, and I'm bringing the kielbasa.
I'll be back with
the Hungarian. I'll be swinging the Hungarian kielbasa.
It's red this time.
And I said, I was listening to Prager, an old show, and he was. I was listening to Funny Valentine, which is the music he led in with, and you were praising Frank Sinatra.
My funny Valentine.
But I started to listen to some of the lyrics.
Sweet comic. Valentine.
She's not a good-looking woman.
No, it is very insulting.
You make me smile.
Yeah,
it starts out sweet.
Funny Valentine is fine. The unphotographable.
Yeah, laughable, unphotographable.
Your looks are laughable. Unphotographable.
I never thought of that.
To a lady.
This is a story of a woman who only he finds beautiful.
It gets better. It gets better right here.
Is your figure less than Greek? Is your mouth
less than Greek, like not a Greek god?
When you open it to speak. Are you smart?
I don't think we could write this song.
She's on a catch.
But don't change.
Is there a part where he gets into him suffering head trauma?
The number of songs we couldn't write today. You know the famous Santa.
Maybe it's cold outside.
Maybe it's cold outside.
A
guy who sang that today would be considered a harasser.
Sure.
He would lose his job.
He'd be a predator.
Yeah. I never loved my mama. I suffered head trauma. That's why I find you attractive today. Yeah. Unphotographable is what I was standing in the German deli thinking about.
I never really thought about
it's one thing to call you funny or quirky or no one likes you. I like you. You know what I mean? But unphotographable.
Yeah. I thought it meant no photograph could catch your beauty.
Oh, that's nice.
I think that's the sweet way of taking it. He's describing a non-classic.
Not in the precursors. Your looks are laughable.
Yeah, right. No, that's the problem. So maybe sweet is not accurate. Maybe naive.
Yeah, naive.
Is
her
more
mouth's
accurate.
A little weak. Yeah, her figure's not
weak. I just didn't get it.
All right, let's see. Pete Holmes is out there. I will tell you guys about Tommy John. No time like the present. Upgrade your old, uncomfortable underwear to Tommy John. Mind-blowing comfort. The underwear, it never rides up. The waistband never rolls down. No more picking out the wedgies or rearranging the goods. It is Tommy John. Simply the best. We all wear it here. We all have it here. It's the one thing that sponsors send in that never sits around. It gets gobbled up, and it gets taken home immediately. They have undershirts. They stay tucked in. The socks never roll down. They don't slide down. Second skin tees, so soft you won't believe it. Just the best. And again, the undershirt that is an undershirt, not a shirt you're wearing underneath your dress shirt, which comes untucked. It's like, assume they're too thick and whatever.
Ridiculous.
The best. Tommy John, all backed by the best pair you'll ever wear, or it's free guarantee. It is Tommy John. No adjustment needed. Dawson.
Hurry to TommyJohn.com/Adam and get 20% off your first order. That's TommyJohn.com/Adam for 20% off. TommyJohn.com/Adam.
All right. So me and Dennis Prager, Phoenix, Arizona, Grand Canyon University Arena. That's Tuesday, February 27th. Tickets at AdamCarolla.com. Also, I'm doing live shows all over the place. Sacramento Thunder Valley Casino, March 2nd. That's a stand-up and Oxnard Levity Live and Santa Ana Esports Arena. Two shows. We're going to film those. That's April 21st. Seattle, the Moore Theater. We're all coming back to the Moore. That is September 13th for the cruise. New rooms added to the cruise, but they'll sell out. They always sell out. Podcasting masterclass and all that good stuff. Check out Dennis's radio show, the Dennis Prager Show, and you can do it. It shows up in podcast form. I suggest throwing it on your phone and getting a little wisdom over there. It is go to DennisPrager.com and PragerU and all that stuff. Dennis, always good to see you, my friend.
I love being with you. Thank you. And a reminder to everybody about our movie, No Safe Spaces.
Oh, that's right. That'll be coming out toward the end of this year?
Yeah, it's a big deal. It should be a big deal, and it's an important subject, what's happening on our campuses.
Pete Holmes is coming in from one of my favorite shows, Crashing. We'll talk to him right after a break in Good Sports.
Adam Carolla is bringing his New York Times bestseller, Not Taco Bell Material, back to the stage this winter.
This is the first house I lived in L.A.
Adam Carolla, Not Taco Bell Material.
See, the dirt lawn is going to be a reoccurring theme in tonight's show.
Live at Thunder Valley Casino Resort outside Sacramento on Friday, March 2nd.
I told you my dad would turn into lead singer Boston at some point. And my mom would turn into Mo Howard from the Three Stooges.
And don't miss the live taping of Adam Carolla's Not Taco Bell Material, April 21st in downtown Santa Ana, California. Presented by Esports Arena.
I'll give the devil her due. My mom could cook. Nobody puts nothing on a potato like my mom.
Adam Carolla, Sacramento at Thunder Valley on March 2nd and Santa Ana, April 21st.
Anybody could use the Mulholland Club if you're willing to scale a rocky cliff and jump a fence.
Not Taco Bell Material. Learn more at AdamCarolla.com.
Of the year, Dave's recapping hockey. Red Sports, Aces getting talking. Ace and Shecky, let's do it. Good sport.
The Podcast One Sports Network presents Good Sports.
Hi and hello, sports fans. Welcome to this episode of Good Sports presented by Podcast One Sports. Dave Dameshek here, Adam Carolla over there. Reminder, just because football season's over, football season isn't ever really over. NFL, we got the free agency coming up, the combine, not the combine, by the way. You got a draft and everything else. The combine mm-hmm. is a piece of farming equipment.
Yeah, you're right.
A combine is a noun, in fact. A combine is when you bring a collective of people together for the same purpose, which sounds closer to what those guys do in Indianapolis every year. It's a combine, but yeah. Everybody calls it a combine.
Yeah, you're right. Thank you. You know what? I'll have one of my scrutineers come by and take a look at that and see if we can settle that.
I appreciate that. And your scrutineers are more than welcome, and I'm sure they will be clever enough to suss out the fact that a combine, the farming equipment, separates the wheat from the chaff. Now, you can make a case. That's the point of the combine is to separate the also-rans from the guys that are going to make it in the league. However, you expect me to believe that someone was that clever and said, like, let's call it a combine because it's a double entendre. No way.
Well, right now my scrutineers are examining some homologated vehicles, but when they're done, I'll swing them by.
Their next case. Mm-hmm. Yeah, good. Hey, here's something that somebody needs to scrutinize, and that person is named Adam Carolla. Listen.
Hey, let me ask you this.
Yeah, go ahead.
I know I sound uneducated here, but when the Prius first came out, I always called it a hybrid. I didn't call it a hybrid.
Hybrid. Right.
And when I was growing up, they would say, oh, it's a peach and a plum and it's a nectarine, and they would say it's a hybrid, like they bred, like
yeah.
you're breading,
right?
Like you bred horses or
yeah,
something.
Right.
You take a horse and a mule and you breed them and you get a donkey or something. It's a hybrid, like they would say bred, like breading, like mating.
A hybrid is like a pumpernickel that likes burning tree.
Hybrid. Yeah.
It's hybrid.
Now, is hybrid, was there a hybrid and a hybrid, or did everyone just say hybrid and they meant like, but I took it like breeding, or is there a difference?
It's a fine
Gary's got
to
look.
To the best of my understanding, and I just Googled it here, it's hybrid.
But it is weird, Ace, and because you've talked about this, we've talked about the most vexing of all names out there is this ongoing thing. Actually, I haven't met too many people who name their little girl Laura, Lori, Lauren, Lauren.
I have a thought.
I don't know, but that why? What's the point of all that?
I'll get back to it. Here's my thought. I think nobody read the word hybrid until Toyota put it on the back of 2 billion units of cars.
It is very space age.
Nobody read it. They just said, people would say, it's a hybrid between a tomato and a kumquat. It's a hybrid. They just say bread.
Mm-hmm.
And no one ever read it. And I think people thought it was hybrid. And then people started reading it and saying it's a hybrid.
I'll go with that. That's
okay.
Fine by me.
So
I'll sign off on that.
Thank
now.
You. So,
speaking,
Lori?
Well, I'm just saying. That's mm-hmm. another one of those.
My sister's name is Lauren. L-A-U-R-E-N. And at some point, she notified everyone in the family. By the way, she was 39, and she said, it's now L-A-U-R-Y-N. And I said, not to me.
No. Good for you. Put your foot down.
Well, first off, I don't know how much stationery I'm sending you, but no. I'll just go with L-A-U-R-E-N, because that's the way I remember
it. Good for
it.
You. Even if you never send her a letter, make sure she understands you're not playing by those rules.
I had a neighbor who, as an adult, change your name from Sue to Marie, and
the
I was just thought,
wrong
"What?
With people?
I don't
what
know."
Happens?
But my is a great Dave Dameshek would say, "Don't want it."
Right?
Like, what?
A good
what effect does this have on you in your life? Do you have any separate thoughts about meeting someone named Sue or Marie or the way Lauren is spelled? Like, there is no thought.
So you know what?
I'll tell you what it is.
Comfort.
Can
though,
I tell you what it is?
Please.
F you, Dad.
Yeah, that's right.
You want to look at almost every problem.
Right.
You want to look at every single problem where it's like you're going, why is this woman so angry and emotional about it? Whatever it is, micro, macro, look at it F you, Dad. Mm-hmm. That'll explain so much of the things that we don't seem to care about, or why is this person so uptight about this, or why they're so enraged by this, or why do they insist that you use this word and not that word? All roads lead back to F you, Dad.
You're so right, and it's weird that that kind of stuff in a weird way gives me some solace, because it reminds me, man, everybody is messed up. It's why, as I've said before, The Bachelor is satisfying to me, The Bachelorette, I should say, because that's 20 or however many guys. And when I watch them, it makes me feel better about me, because I think I am such a loser, and no wonder women don't really vibe to me. And then I watch those guys and what they try to do to operate with a woman, I think, at least I'm not those losers. Those guys are way dorkier than me.
Right.
Same thing.
So I do that with you.
Yes.
You watch The Bachelor, and you don't feel like such a loser. And then I watch you, and I don't feel so bad. And listen, I'm sure there's somebody watching me.
Yeah. Kimmel. I don't know.
Kimmel, Ben Affleck, Casey Affleck, Affleck, Eunice Affleck, the mom. Well,
the thing I resent much more is seeing people who are really happy with nonsense. Like, it was such a great time, wasn't it? We went out, we had ice cream, and we had like, why is everybody having such a ball in life? When's it my turn to be happy already? When do I get to have a ball?
I am always amused, but jealous as well.
Yeah.
Like when somebody, it's funny, I feel that way. I feel like, so if you collect cars, what you'll find is this. I have a $6 million Paul Newman Le Mans race car that I enjoy, but I'm not over the moon, tickled pink, or anything about it. And then you'll meet some guy, and he's got a 72 Vega, and he named it Honey Badger. Love it, because it's little, but it won't be stopped. And then they start talking about some incredible thing that you would consider to be like somewhere between low rent and zero. Like I go, well, it's got a Chevy 350 small block, you know, and you go, okay, that's the most ubiquitous, cheapest engine on the planet. It's hooked up to a turbo 400 transmission, automatic, but you know, it's fine. And drum brakes and a rear, and he's describing a $4,000 car that you would never look twice at. It's his baby. He's over the moon about it. And he's got plans, too. He's telling you that he's going to get some Krager rims on there, and he's looking to flare it out, but not yet. I mean, that's a little rich for his blood to turn it from a $4,000 car into a $4,700 car. That's going to take a while. And he's so deep into it and so enamored. I feel the same way about these guys whose wives are their best friends. I don't trust them. I don't know what's going on. No, but they have problems, but I'm still jealous.
Yes, because they believe it. When you can feel that they believe it, you think they're weird, but also you're envious of that. Yeah. People are always just having such a good time everywhere. Everybody's laughing. We're having the best time, me and my friends.
And they show you, like, they'll do things like that. They go, oh, let me show you this cartoon from The New Yorker. It's a cat, and he's at a therapist's office, and he says, I blame my mother. Don't you think that's clever? That is so, look at that. That's clever.
And then you're put in the weird position, because you're not phony. You can't be the one thing, you know, and that's a bad thing. Like, hey, sorry if you don't like to be with me. Don't hang out with me if you don't like hearing the truth. You're not that guy, because that guy's just a plain up asshole.
That's
you know?
A douche. That's right.
But you're not phony, and I have a hard time summoning that like fake laugh too. And yet you still have to do it, or else people will relegate you to jerk status. You know,
right.
I don't want that. You know,
right?
Ha ha! Yeah, that was great. Yeah, that was really great. And then I'm lying, and that now it's a vicious circle that's never going to break.
Yeah, I can do that with my kids, but
yes,
I can't do it in front of another adult.
You're
who's
a human
witnessing
being.
Me.
Yes. Yeah, I won't play ball. I'm sorry. My dignity is more important to me than you thinking I think you just made a good joke.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. All right, we'll bring it on home. But Ace, I just wanted to tell you to tease it for the next time we sit down. I don't know what kind of shop you're running. You know I like you. I think you're a neat guy. I like these kids that you employ here. I think it's a decent thing you do. It's noble. Mm-hmm. Where what kind of employment, gainful employment, could they find elsewhere?
Mm.
Are you aware of the video that they've put together? Mm-hmm. That they put together, actually, it was a couple weeks ago now, in front of the Super Bowl. They had something called the Lackey Football Challenge, and they made a series of events around it.
I saw some snippets of it.
did you see how they throw a football? How each one of them throws a football? What are, who are these people?
Well,
who are these people you're employing?
I know they don't drive sticks, so I could only imagine how they
throw
a football.
Phil Rivers laughs at how they throw a football. He thinks they look goofy and goony and pathetic.
So we're laughed at by a professional football player? Mm-hmm. Check. By the time
that was a bad
compare. I'm so glad.
I don't
want
to shout out a name that
how
Ace can summon from our past who we saw throw a football once, and we all just collectively. It's funny, some of the guys one day man show were throwing a football around and like, oh, that guy doesn't have a very good arm. Ooh, Jordan, boy, he really doesn't. He doesn't throw in a ball very much. And then one guy picked up a ball. The head writer picked up a ball and he threw it, and it was so bad it wasn't like, haha, let's make a joke about it. It was like, oh my.
Yeah,
oh, that's embarrassing for that poor
guy. Kid about that.
This is what I saw five times over, Ace, and they're on your staff, these people. What? You got to get it. You better get some hardcore instructional stuff going on here.
I am going to get the guy who worked with Peyton Manning in college.
Yes.
He goes back to Tennessee
that
every
guy,
year,
right.
And
yeah,
works,
one of these.
Works with that elderly gentleman.
Yes.
He's coming in.
Wow! Well,
I'm
just
going
to
work with the entire staff.
None
now that Peyton's
soon.
Out of the league, he's got nothing to do during the offseason. So I'm going to work with Mike Rice.
We
got to
do something. Maybe you should do it. Maybe we should have a combine around here and see how pathetic these people are. All right, that's it. We'll wrap it up there. But I do want to pour over this video at our earliest convenience because I feel bad. I like Gary. I like the other fellas here too. I don't like the way they throw a ball, and I don't want them going out into the world with a prospective lady friend or whatever.
They'll get hurt.
Yeah. They're going to be made fun of for the rest of their lives. All right. Good stuff, Ace, for Adam Carolla, Dave Damashek. Good Sports, Podcast One Sports, out. Good Sports.